The de Blasio's? I'm interested to find out what is going on with the de Blasio's.
Oh, it's very brief. If you scroll up a little, you'll see it.
Oh, this is the, yeah, that's right. I do remember.
All right. I have a few other things. Are we ready? We need a countdown. What have we talked about? What can we count down?
How many inches wide a football field is?
Okay, Chris, go.
42.
42 inches wide. 40. Do I have to count by ones?
No.
Do by seven.
If you count backwards and threes.
I don't. I'm not that smart. I'll do it by sevens. 42, 35, 28, 21, 14, 7. Hit it, Tim.
AI Tim.
Did we lose the rights to our theme song?
The theme song, they're cool with us. I think it's Tim. We lost the rights to Tim. Tim's voice. So we now have an AI.
You're supposed to mail in the renewal form, Thomas. Did it not make it through the airmail?
Oh no. I put it in a bottle. What's that called? Mail post? No. What's it called?
Message in a bottle.
The song or the movie?
Now the story of an eclectic fan base who lost touch with reality and the one podcast that somehow holds the
in counting. 100 episodes since the start of this show. Now you gotta pay for afterglow.
This Kenny is rocking the self-checkout. Done in 2 minutes, there ain't no doubt.
From the cart to the scanner.
From the scanner to the bag.
His dog stuff got stolen, so that's the drag.
Got fire sticks, e-books, a chaotic house. Closet door shut. Get the fuck out.
Carl's went home. Arizona too sweet.
Paper priest best friend is a heathen.
Time to record.
Each episode he'll tweet.
Cause we'll be rocking this podcast 8 days a week.
No shaming. No shame.
Welcome to the SSEU podcast. We are back with our regular show every week. It's great. Guys, how do you feel? This is the fifth consecutive week that we're posting an episode?
For us, I mean, I think you took a week off. But, I mean, I think you taking 1 week off while we're still working, that's pretty standard for you.
It's like on 4th of July, I forget who it was, posted in the Mega Thread something about how you guys were celebrating and all the foreigners can go to work. I'm like, it's July, mate. That's
it's summer break.
we take a month off. We really celebrate independence.
Yeah. Okay, so I have two things to start off with to get us on track. Which one do you want first? Show and tell or story time?
Oh wait, first should Ryan and I play our game?
Oh yeah.
All right, Ryan.
We won.
Yeah, but we're just gonna play until we win. Like it's that hard to.
Oh okay. We're gonna start
can you
over.
Come up with a word.
Okay, wait, yeah, I got a word.
Do I give the first word? I give the first word.
No, you
and
don't
then,
do anything.
No, I don't do anything. Okay.
Or you and Chris can play.
Do you want to play, Thomas?
So you and Chris go. So it took Chris and I, what was it, 3 episodes to finally
match? I think only two.
No, it was the episode you weren't on with Ben is when we got one.
Right, and we only did one before that, so two.
Didn't we do two before that? Whatever. Okay, 2 episodes. All right, so you guys go now. And
who's
see
playing?
How many episodes.
Okay, Thomas and me. All right, Thomas, come up with a word and tell me when you're ready.
Can it be two words?
Yeah.
It can be a thing. Yeah.
A thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Person, all place, right. Thing.
Like movie show. It could be
all of the Wheel of Fortune rules.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. When do I say it?
So we count down. Count 3, 2, 1. Together. You ready?
And you say it at the same time.
3, 2, 1.
Toilets!
Okay. So I heard toilets and something boner.
Okay.
Boner.
Just boner.
Okay, just boner.
Oh.
Okay, toilets. Just boner.
I dropped D. I kept it simple.
Okay.
There's got to be a connection there that you guys can come up with.
I've got mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Three, two, one. Cocktail.
Donkey Kong.
Cocktail and Donkey Kong.
Oh boy, that's a tough one.
That you guys diverged. I feel like you were
going the wrong direction.
I feel like you were going in the same direction. Toilets and boners, you know, those kind of go together. But now Donkey Kong and cocktail.
All right, I'm ready, Thomas. Are you ready?
Hang on, the moose is still blue. I need to.
Moose is still blue.
There we go.
That sounds like.
It's like a secret agent. Like we meet in the bar. Like what's the secret code? The moose is still blue.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait, I got to remember what mine was. It feels like 5 minutes ago that you had to take a sip of beer, and then mine was cocktail and Donkey Kong. Okay. What was my word then? I guess I got one. Okay. You ready?
Wait, I forgot mine now. I had one. It was right there.
Okay. Let's just stop. Let's just stop there. Like that's a good stopping point. All right.
Cocktail and Donkey Kong. So next week, you guys come back with Cocktail and Donkey Kong and see where you can get from there. You have a while to think about it. That's a tough one. You do need to take some time.
All right, Thomas, what's our choice? Choose your own adventure.
Two things. So you can. Good. That was first.
Jason's show and tell thing.
Yeah. So either show and tell or story time.
Boy.
All right, Ryan, you come up with yours. Tell me when you're ready. We'll do a 3-2-1.
Okay.
3-2-1. Show
sunglasses.
And tell.
Oh.
That show and tell. That sounds like show and tell. All right. So we have how long are we recording for today?
I don't know.
All right. Well, so I have three of these.
Sounds like a miniature vodka.
No, so it's actually a schnapps.
Schnapps.
Three different ones. 50 milliliter in each. Peach?
Got a peach there?
What flavor you got?
This is aquavit, which is...
Hang on a second.
Aquavit.
Aqua velvet? Like it's cologne?
Aqua velvet?
Cumin? It's cumin spiced.
What?
I thought the point of schnapps was
it's like sweet or something.
Sweet and like go down easier.
That's not how we do it. It's cumin spiced. It's
garlic.
Spiked with malt whiskey. I guess that explains the color. And aged on sherry barrels.
What is this schnapps?
I don't know. Maybe it's called. It's aqua. It's aqua like a shot schnapps?
Of whiskey.
It's aqua anyway. With cumin.
This one is no one knows. It's spiced with honey and raisins. That's a clear liquid. The other one had some sort of color.
Raisin alcohol. That's so good.
This one is lemon and. What's that called in English? Rosemary?
Rosemary?
Rosemary is a spice, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what this is.
The leaves in it? Little
no, I mean, on the label, leaves? Sure.
Okay, all right. And these are good?
I didn't say that.
Where did you get them?
You're going to drink them in front of us.
It's a midsummer tradition. So you get. Okay,
I didn't know this was part of it. Now I'm in.
You get hammered on schnapps. I was blackout fucking drunk on midsummer.
Can you open it with your teeth?
No, but the part of it. Okay. My hands are soggy for some reason. We'll do half. We'll see how many I get for during this episode. But this is my show and tell.
So you got to at least do half.
You got to shoot it.
Okay.
Oh, you just boom. You don't. You don't have straight any back. Kind of saying. You don't go. Oh, that's a face. Oh. How's the cumin?
That was the cumin. He had to go get back some of the blue moose.
Are the mountains still blue? Is the moose?
I need to recover. Someone else.
This makes sense to me of what a whiskey cumin shot would the reaction to it. Yeah, this is
in cherry barrels.
Cherry barrels.
Sherry or cherry?
Sherry. Not the berry. All right. No. And then the story time is we had our first really big rainfall of the year the other 2 days ago. And my parents, my mom hired an electrician to do some work outside, put in some new things that leads to like the two garages and the other buildings that we have, what we call auxiliary buildings.
Magazines?
That we have. Yeah, and it rained heavily and the entire house lost power. And I have zero electrician experience.
Well, that's tough to get.
But even I figured that
didn't stop Ryan.
No, it didn't stop me either. Oh, my God. I blew like 15 fuses in one evening before I opened a junction box here outside.
Oh,
and
nice.
I took the lid of it, and then I looked inside, and I realized that this the inside is as wet as the outside, and I don't think that's supposed to
happen. Is that bad?
Okay.
Is that bad?
What do they say about water and electricity? They're fine together?
So I managed to disconnect that junction box, because that leads to, like, all of the other buildings, not to the main house. So I managed to disconnect it and get the power back on. But as we discussed, it is July, and so to actually get the electrician out there to fix it turned out to be fucking impossible.
It's Independence Month.
Should start calling it that. It's Independence Month. It's not summer.
So
anyway, I went through.
Did they charge you a midsummer premium fee to come out?
Well, I mean, we do live. My parents do live in the middle of nowhere, and so sure. it takes an hour for the nearest electrician to drive here. So there's a, I don't know, transportation fee. I don't know what you would call that. So it's not cheap.
I can imagine. I would imagine not. So you got it, but he came out, and it's a.
We have no electricity in the other buildings. That's fine.
So it's just the main house. As long as got it.
Yeah,
for now
it's fine. Okay. And these are our, what would you call these in English? These are for the inside. I first thought that something here was wrong. They're these things pop, they blow if things get overloaded. Fuses.
I was going to say, like, it looks like fuses to me, but
yeah.
You just had the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, like, you know, we don't have fuses. Fuses are kind of outdated.
It's an old house.
Yeah.
Circuit break. In the outhouses, which currently do not have electricity, we do have circuit breakers.
In your outhouse. Well, boy, that's interesting that in the pooper, you've got the electricity.
I don't mean outhouse, literally.
You mean the magazines.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, we require a lot of our listeners, like these callbacks. Like, does anyone remember that Thomas called a warehouse a magazine? Because that's the word in...
We say it so often, though. I think they have to remember it.
Or they just remember that we have an obsession with the word make.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of our listeners, I posted earlier this... No, wait. I can't say
our
that.
Number one listener is trying to get on mic right now.
Yeah, Isaac is our number one listener.
At some point earlier this summer, this year... I joked on Twitter that we should try to buy the license to the Pac-12, and that we could trade it for a Fjällräven backpack, which, as we have learned on the show, all Swedes get free Fjällräven backpacks. So how many do they need? We can just, like, do they need? I feel like 10. We might be paying too much.
10 backpacks for the license. To the name, hey, you want more backpacks? I mean, we can get a whole, you know, an entire school can go without backpacks this year, and they get them every year, right? They get new Fjällräven backpacks every single year. They're just, the company just is making these backpacks and just hundreds of thousands of them a year just going out for free. It's amazing.
But I mean, the thing is, what would we be buying the rights to the Pac-12, which,
well, then we could make whatever we want the Pac-12 and just brand it. This is now the Pac-12.
The backpack, the Fjällräven backpack, eight, or however many schools there are going to be.
We could count the schools in the Pac-12. I feel like that's it. We haven't done much counting in a long time. We've counted down, but we haven't counted up.
That's true. You're going to be attacked.
Oh, he ducked. okay.
Transition.
I will cut this, but you said that you wanted to do something. How about?
No.
How about?
Because yeah. I look back and it's going to require us putting the audio in and like listening to it. And since I'm not on my laptop, I can't like play it from here. So, because remember, it's that Dell, because I scrolled back up and the last thing I put was that Dell.
Dear listener, the name I'm trying to call is Dell Walmsley. He's some lifestyles of living, teaches you how to be rich, but it's all just like stupid crap. I was going to cut this. Thomas was going to cut this, but Thomas isn't editing this. So I am, which is why it's not edited quite as good. But then I listened to our conversation right after this, and it's kind of funny. So I'm going to leave it in. Sorry, Thomas. I know you would cut it, but I think it's funny.
That these are the problems you have to deal with in life. And this is how you have, and then the other one is that he's been paying this pool company thousands of dollars for like 12 years. And they have, apparently he says the pool has never once been cleaned. And it's like, it took him 12 years to actually like change companies or do anything about it at all.
But it's like Tobias like, and Lindsay, you yes. know, being like, does this work for anyone else? But it might work for us. He's like, you know, for 9 years, I've been paying these people to clean my pool. This year, maybe they've figured it out.
Maybe they're going to do it. it was because like the reason I started, my phone died. Not surprisingly, my phone died and I was driving and I had to put on. I had to stop at a gas station to buy a charger, and so like I had to like just had it on AM radio.
How did you know which one to buy?
I know. It was amazing. I got completely lucky. And I just had to put on AM radio. And it was just this guy is like, just like it starts with the first thing I heard was the iPhone charger story. And I'm just like, is this just like a political talk radio guy? Why is he talking about this? And why is he such an idiot? And then I find out, oh, wait, this is one of those lifestyle, what is it? Lifestyles Unlimited with Dell Walmsley. And we got the art purchasers coming in 10 minutes. But anyway, and I'm just like, wait a second, he's telling people how to live their lives? And he wants people to pay him to tell them how to live their lives and how to navigate these problems. And these are his examples of stuff he's going to help you with?
When you've got things figured out,
right.
Like this pool thing, after 10 years of struggling, it's like, stop paying a guy. If you pay someone to do something for 10 years and they never do it, it's time to stop.
And he says it was like something like over $2,000. It was like, or we looked it up, and it's like an average, you probably paid like $1,800 a year for it for 10 to 12 years, he says. And so we want to count that. We're talking about, you know, he's almost thrown away $20,000 on pool cleaning that has never gotten done. But here, he's going to tell you how to.
He's going to tell you how to live. Let me tell you how to live.
And like he would brag about, he also like brag. It's like, my pool is so big. They'd never seen a pool this big. What?
And it's filthy. There's like,
yes, it's just disgusting.
There's like frogs spawning in it.
Never clean. Never once in the 10 years been clean. But it's huge. And he was like, it's like all these water features he had. And he would just say, well, they would just stop working. And the company would say that they were fixing them. And then they just wouldn't fix them. And so they just stopped with like the self cleaner. They didn't replace it right. Like all these pumps and stuff, they didn't put those in right. So you're not talking about just cleaning. You're paying them for repairs, and they didn't do those either. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty. Like we pretty genius. Much did it. There we go. We got it.
What's his name again?
Unlimited. Dell Walmsley. Lifestyles Unlimited is the program.
Tom Walmsgams.
Tom Walmsgams. The CEO.
All right.
So hold on. I didn't hear the beginning of this. So does Chris need to be done in 10 minutes?
No, I just need to step away for a second.
Okay. That's all I needed.
And I suppose I could just let you guys keep talking, but oh my gosh. We gotta get a screenshot of Thomas's face.
He just did another shot.
Oh, he's going back to the blue moose.
Yeah.
Need something to wash down the taste with.
I missed it.
It's great. Okay. Honest to God. I mean, it is, what is this one? 40%. So it's okay.
It's okay. What's okay? That you're grimacing?
No,
Is it the grimace shake? Are you going to die?
Are you aware of this? Did this make its way to Sweden?
No.
The grimace shake?
I don't.
Are you aware that you can't just buy a shake? You got to buy a whole meal? Because Rhett wanted the grimace shake. I was like going to get them like just like the other day. Like,
McDonald's.
You know, Grimace. Never
heard of them. Go on.
You know, there's characters besides Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald.
Are you kidding me? It's Ronald McDonald. And
it's not just a pervert in clown shoes.
There are other perverts.
There's also a big, giant purple blob. But,
there's the Hamburglar. There's the blob. Who else is there?
Classic Hamburglar.
He burgles burgers.
This guy?
Yes. That's the man. That's the being.
Okay. And you want to get a shake?
I mean,
well, they have a grimace.
A trend like months
shake.
Ago.
Yeah. Apparently, people say that you die if you drink the grimace shake.
It's a purple or what color is it?
It's purple. Yeah. It's like got some berry flavor that they put in there. Purple berry, I think, is what it is.
That's a thing.
But yeah, you can't just. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to get you guys like some ice cream. Do you want shakes from McDonald's? And Rhett's like, yeah, give me the grimace. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I look, there's only chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. I'm like, where's the grimace? And you got to buy a 10-piece chicken nugget meal to get the grimace shake.
Oh.
So they,
They got
the 10-piece nugget meal to share. And
they do it because they know that the kids want it. And so the parents will buy the meal for
them. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, apparently. But it was like a TikTok thing for a while where.
I'm an adult and not on TikTok.
Well, Jason sent me a TikTok that.
Jason's not an
Instagram reel. Well, then he sent it to me on Instagram, so I didn't actually have to go to TikTok to see it.
Chris,
you want me to do like a thing?
I feel like we're in limbo here. You should go, and then we should.
I can't go until she gets here. I have someone coming to the house to purchase some art. I can't go do the thing until she arrives. So let's talk about True Rate Me. How about that? Transition.
Drew Rate Me.
So do you guys remember that I sent you the link to True Rate Me?
I do.
Did you go have a look at it?
I did.
It is. So True Rate Me is one of the, I feel like it's a fairly popular subreddit, like it has a few hundred thousand subscribers or something crazy like that.
I probably did. I just don't remember.
I absolutely did not.
And on True Rate Me, people get to post photos of themselves, preferably several, like one from the front, one from the side, whatever. And then posters. Or Redditors, whatever you want to call them, are supposed to rate you, like how good do you look on a scale from 0 to 10. The main thing about True Rate Me, though, is that these are true ratings. There's a guide on how you're supposed to rate people.
That's right. There's no inflation here, okay?
No, there's no inflation. And if someone say that you're really
good. In fact, they will yell at you if you give too high of a score.
This is the thing you're directed to. A really cute girl posts a photo or several photos, and someone gives her a rating of, I don't know, 7.5 out of 10. That person would get yelled at because that's great inflation. That essentially, no one gets 7.5 on this page. because they are true ratings. And there is this horrific guide. There's this horrific guide where they show faces of different celebrities or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, this celebrity has a perfect symmetrical face, whatever, would score an 8. And it's the most gorgeous model that you've ever heard of. And then
people are not getting 7s. And then
regular people are, I don't know, getting like 2s or something. Okay. I have no idea. But I don't know. Chris, you looked at this Reddit subreddit?
Yes, it was like, I just read an article. I don't remember where it was, but these like priests back in like the 16, 1700s found underground somewhere in Central America what they thought was a portal to the underworld. I feel like reading through True Rating was like opening up that portal and just gazing in to the underworld.
Yes. Like, this is awful. Why?
It is also, you're only supposed to post pictures of your face. Like, it's not like there's I think
they'll yell at you if there's a little cleavage there. They'll be like, no, that's not fair, you can't include
you're
cleavage
cheating. You're trying to get a cheat cleavage bump.
Or even like any sort of a good body. So I don't know if, like, again, like, it's a good place for people who are angry and want to criticize everything to go.
So here is I posted in the chat. I posted a link to the guide for women on how to rate women.
To look at what's the bottom, like the bottom right, one up from the bottom, unknown. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
I don't think that's a real person. And that's a 1. Okay.
Yeah, and so,
why are people doing this?
So 50% average in the middle. You have, I don't know, for example, Constance Wu or Saoirse Ronan.
Wu is a 5?
Yeah. 5.5.
Wait, Anne Bland is a 5. It's the same as Constance Wu. That's insane.
5.5, Summer Glau, Brie Larson.
Oh, Joey King. We just saw a movie with her. All right, I'll be back. You guys keep talking.
Yeah, I find this so fascinating.
Oh my gosh.
And then when you get further up, like, what's the difference between someone who scores a 7 and someone who scores a 9? No idea.
Yeah. Emily Ratajkowski is a 7 to 7.5, but then the 9 to 9.5s. I don't. Oh my gosh! Why? Why is this? All right. Well,
it's the, like, this is where all the incels on the internet congregate.
I guess to like make themselves feel worse.
No, to pass judgment on beautiful people, I guess. But then I also do not understand, like, on this subreddit, that there are regular users who post their own photo and want to
That's what I don't know. Why would you want that? What? These are terrible people. Do not give their opinion validation, but they want to be negged, I guess.
Yeah, and then if you go into one of these threads on this subreddit, like, someone posts one of their own photos, and there's someone who thinks that, oh, this woman looks, like Chris said, someone thinks that, oh, she looks really cute and is really attractive, they immediately get slapped down because they are overrating that woman.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Anyway, it might be the worst, one of the worst parts of the internet that I have encountered so far, and I have seen a lot of it, so... welcome to browse it. Well, I guess we should wait for what's his face to get back. Transition. I have a headline for us. I don't know if you guys saw this flying around the internet. It is Sweden related, and I will just read the headline to you. Swedish man charged with claiming a dead partner's pension after hiding her body in a freezer. A 55-year-old man was charged in Sweden this Thursday, July 6th, with several different crimes in connection with keeping his dead partner in the freezer. So his partner passes away. He still wants to collect her pension. So he,
as one does,
shoves her in the freezer. How long do you think he had her in the freezer?
10 years?
No, that's great. Since 2018. So only like, what's that?
I was gonna say five years. Yeah. 5 or 10. Yeah.
Which is good for $150,000 in pension money. That's pretty good.
Hmm.
Question. Do you have more details? I'm kind of curious. So I have a chest freezer. It's not large. But I think you'd have to cut up the body to put it in the freezer. Was the body intact?
I do not know that. I do know that he stored a body in a freezer that he also was using to like put meat and other foods in. So like he...
Who wants ice cream?
Who wants ribs? Oh, wait. No, not. I don't have... Never mind. That's wrong.
It's always awkward when people come over and go to get like a popsicle and
get some popsicles.
What the? So, did he think that this was like a clever loophole he found? Like, they're not. You know, it's like if you have the body frozen, like if it's buried in the ground and decomposed, then you're not eligible for pension. But if you've got it frozen,
well, I guess the thing was that he didn't report it to the authorities that she had passed away.
But
and so
you don't need to like it. It's, oh, okay, right. There are many options here. Like someone dies, it's like it's not either report them or stick them in your freezer.
Stick them in the freezer. This wasn't like a doctor in South Carolina in the '80s, was it?
No.
Sweden.
There's a doctor in South Carolina in the '80s who, for some reason, he had like body parts in his freezer, and it was just like the '80s, and so nobody really, like, where did they come from? It was just like, oh well, he's a doctor; he's supposed to have
them. Yeah, that's
and then
thing, right.
He had a power outage, and so he took one of the things he had in his freezer was a child's foot. A child's
toe?
Foot.
I'll get you a toe.
And so he decided to put it once his power went out, and so he said he put it in a crab trap because he wanted the crabs to eat the harder part because he wanted to study the tendons of the human foot. That's what he said. And so he wanted the crabs to pick off the bigger, chunkier pieces so he could study the tendons. Well, the foot got out of the crab trap and washed up on the beach in South Carolina.
I hate when you find a beach foot.
It was, especially
a time building sandcastles.
A child's foot.
There's a beach
everywhere.
Foot. Yeah.
There was like a manhunt for like a couple hours until... He was like,
"Where's the rest of the body?"
That could have been. I might have put that foot in a crab trap to study it, and it might have got out of the crab
for
trap.
For science.
And then he was still a doctor after that. Nothing. He was still fine.
Nice. Transition.
No, hang on. I have just a few more questions about the freezer man. So it was his wife or a wife put a husband in the freezer?
So the story I read said partner.
Okay. So you also said multiple charges. What was he ultimately charged with?
Well,
so obviously fraud.
So charged with fraud. And then two different counts, like one lesser and one more severe of when what would you call that in English? When you disturb a grave?
I don't know what the legal term is. Desecration of a grave? Is that a crime? Yeah, or is that a crime? Was that wrong?
Hang on, we're gonna ask Bing what this actually is called. A grave breach?
Grave breach.
So you're saying I'm not allowed to just dig up my loved ones?
Yeah. So that's
I thought this is America.
That's like the lesser and the more severe. And then he was also charged with something else that I need to actually translate into English. Because falsification of records. So like he kept signing off on the payments and everything from as if she was still alive.
I feel like that's double jeopardy. I mean, it's essentially fraud, right? You know? And you're slapping a second thing on there?
Yeah. Come on. You already got him. But, come on.
Like Al Capone being caught on, you know, taxes.
But they do say that he was not opportunistic.
He's the Al Capone of freezer bodies.
No. they do say that he wasn't a murderer, or it wasn't even manslaughter. He was just opportunistic, you know, seeing his shot at making some extra cash.
Shoot your shot, man. Just... 100%, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Maybe he was optimistic. Kobe. Maybe that's what it was. It was like, if I freeze her, maybe science. Like, isn't Walt Disney's head frozen? Didn't he
Is he still? Was he for a while? Because wasn't Ted Williams' head frozen for a while, and then his kids argued about what they wanted to do with him, with his head. It might still be frozen.
I'm sure that's true. I think they're frozen at the same place. I think.
What's the point of
they're in that guy's freezer? I guess you don't need the rest of the body. Like when we get to the science where we can just regenerate people, we can put them in a new body.
Exactly. That's why Ted Williams wanted his head to be.
We need the brain.
It's like his daughter was into. His daughter got talked into like this deep freeze company and like investing in it and like and so that like when we get the technology we can bring him back to life or regenerate him as you know a computer program we could study his brain if we freeze him and once the science catches up and so she's spending like you know thousands and thousands of dollars to have him cryogenically frozen
but she has the money so
now, I mean that's the thing is Ted Williams was rich, but not that rich. And so her siblings are like, no, let's not spend our father's estate on this.
That covered 2 years of it. Now it's on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Transition.
And they're going to throw the head out in the dumpster in the back if we don't come up with another payment.
Because, of course, it's Ted Williams' brain that's the valuable part, right? That's everyone was like, man, what a brain.
What great ideas he had about like fatherhood and you know life and just being a complete monster.
What do you think, Thomas? How's that?
That was better. I'm not
better
sure
than the cumin.
Well, I can't imagine it's gonna get worse. You should have done the cumin last.
I might just be more drunk, but definitely better.
That can happen. That can happen for sure. You're like, you get drunk enough, you know, a lot of things have appealing.
We should talk about Bullet Train before we run out of time, right?
Sure.
We have plenty of time. We're going to talk about one more thing before that.
Okay.
So Jason sent us an article ages ago. I know that Chris probably looked at this. Or an article. It was
it's not an article, it's a tweet,
and then a series of like screenshots of Facebook posts. Chris, can you break down who Bob Huggins is for our listeners?
So Bob Huggins, the reason Jason likes him is he's the former coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats basketball team.
Yes.
Jason likes him.
I like how you were unsure as if it might have been another sport. Like it might have been fencing.
Was it fencing or was it competitive kayaking? I don't remember. But he's one of those old school, like just Bobby Knight style jerk coaches who just chews players out, humiliates them. And somehow Jason thinks this is good.
He humiliates them to make them better. though.
Right? It's for their own sake. It's
for their own good. He doesn't like doing it.
I take no pleasure in just demeaning these men and like dressing them down in public in front of everybody. I take no pleasure in this.
Yeah, I read an ESPN story about him, and it said that he was a controversial coach.
Controversial, yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for a long time, he was not a controversial coach. He was just a coach.
Standard, yeah. Yeah. Those tactics are kind of frowned upon. I think,
right.
Was it Greg Williams? Was that the name of the... Like, coaches are finally being fired for this. Like, the Wichita State coach... they had to eat a ton of salary that they had agreed to pay. But anyway, like he also is like a Dick Cheney type. He's a Dick Cheney type as far as just like a model to modern science as far as shooting heart disease. As far as heart disease, like for as long as like for like 20 years, he's had like heart valve transplants and it's unclear like why like, a man who's blood pressure is probably 700 over 500. And he's got bulging veins, in his forehead. It's shocking that guy has heart problems, but he indeed does.
And the best of us.
They've got like the valves of a pig heart
into the worst of us.
But most okay, recently, so, he wasn't coaching Cincinnati, was he?
He has been in Morgantown. So if Pittsburgh's the Paris of Appalachia. Morgantown, West Virginia is the hillbilly elegy of Appalachia. I don't know. But he's been West Virginia University.
I feel like it's the Morgantown of Appalachia. Like I'm really struggling to come up with something that's much worse.
Tell you what, though, they really look down on Wheeling and Charleston. They're just like those dumps.
Yeah, anyway, so he was the coach there for, I don't remember what it said, 15 seasons or something? A long time, right?
Long. At least 10. I suppose time flies.
Let's have a look. I have...
Okay, you're going to bing it?
I have the article up here. 16 seasons at West Virginia. He had a winning record of 345 wins and 203 losses.
Yeah, he wins, and which is why people put up with his behavior.
Right.
Yeah, and he was eventually fired. Why was he fired?
DWI. Or I don't know, is it DUI there? Anyway.
What university is that? Which school is DUI? he was coaching at DUI.
You're the college sports fan, so you tell me. So his daughter is furious that he was dismissed for this.
Hang on. A little more about. So Huggins was arrested in Pittsburgh after police observed a black SUV blocking traffic around 8:30 p.m. with a flat and shredded tire. And the driver's side door was open. when the police told him to move the vehicle off the road and pulled him over, they observed that he had some trouble, maneuvering, steering the SUV. And he had problems answering some questions, such as where he was.
Tough questions math questions?
No, like questions like, where are you? And the right answer would have been Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he said Columbus, which,
hey, Columbus found this whole place. This is all Columbus to me.
Yeah. And then he blew an alcohol content of, 0.21% or something like that, which is
almost three times the legal limit, I believe. Yeah. It's usually what, 0.08?
Yeah. So anyway, and then on, I guess, Facebook or where this was posted, Chris, his daughter came out with a post explaining the situation to everyone.
Yeah, and throwing everyone under the bus. It's everyone's fault but his. And, I mean, they said that he had, like, his car can was, like, littered with with beer cans. And she's like, no, they weren't just littered on the ground.
He was recycling.
They were in bags. They were in bags. He's one. He's so beer cans all over the car was the quote. And she's like, no, the cans were in bags and not all beer cans. My dad collects them to recycle. He's a good guy. It's not like he's just driving around pounding beers. It's rolling them on the floor like a redneck.
It's not like when you recycle, you can just put them out in front of your house and
you gotta drive them to Pittsburgh.
They don't believe in recycling in Morgantown.
Yeah.
Anyway, driving them to another state.
And this matches with the police report that he actually had the driver's side door open because you always need to be ready to just toss those cans into the recycling machine.
Yeah, well, it's
it works smarter, not harder.
I don't know how the beer cans in the car get the blood in your the alcohol in your blood, but
well, I think that was just, you know, I guess they're in the car, you know, there's a lot of little drops in those cans, you know, maybe some of the cans were sliced open and it, like, maybe he got some cuts on his hands while he was picking them up and the alcohol seeped in through the cuts.
Who knows how we got that alcohol blood percentage? I also learned that he had, like, recently in the past month or so, been docked a $1 million salary reduction because he used some anti-gay slurs in an interview.
Well,
so it sounds like a stand-up guy.
Really just great.
All around, I mean, ask Jason, you know?
All right, transition. Chris, what movie have you watched for this week?
We have watched Bulletproof.
Bullet
Bourbon.
No.
Full Metal Proof.
No. Metaverse. Bullet Train. A 2022 action comedy film starring Brad Pitt as a thief who must battle fellow criminals while riding a bullet train.
So I'm going to say I did not rewatch this because I saw it when it came out. I didn't have quite enough time to while I was driving. So I will.
You were driving?
I didn't. No, but I've seen it already. Okay. I watched it.
And it just came out like last summer, year. Last fall, something like that.
I mean, I'll say I didn't love it. So.
All right, so Bullet Train. I was going to say the plot is fairly simple. Chris, what's the plot?
So there's this nursery train rhymes. That goes really fast, almost like a bullet. It's in Japan, and there is a bunch of characters. So there is. Brad Pitt, who plays this character who is a
assassin.
An assassin who's been to therapy.
With the heart of gold, I think. working on getting out.
He's been to therapy and he's processing the things he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's stop there. This is, I don't know, if you guys have recommendations for movies where Brad Pitt plays a similar part to this, I want to know. Because it would be hilarious. This is hilarious. Like, I think Brad Pitt is the best part about this, together with the black English guy, the assassin. But he's hilarious. He delivers every line almost perfectly. He makes a fool out of himself. I love it.
Yeah.
I love him.
We all do. I mean, as Shark says, everyone's at least 10% gay.
And 9 of those percentage
are for Brad Pitt
points. Yeah.
So okay, I agree. Cockney Paperboy, very funny as well.
Ryan,
have your kids been into Thomas the Tank Engine?
I think only Jonah was.
Okay, slow down. So let's get to this. Anyway, so Brad Pitt gets a job to get on the train.
A simple job, right?
He's supposed to retrieve a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not that. No big deal.
No, and then get off the fucking train. That's all he's supposed to do.
Here's what I don't understand. If this is a bullet train, how come it's like so long between stops? You'd think it'd be like, I don't know, like a minute.
Bullet. Maybe the stops bullet. Are far
bullet.
Apart.
Stop.
I mean, bullet, stop. Bullet, stop.
But the stops are a minute, right?
Just before we go forward, I want to say, yes, Brad Pitt's the best part of the movie, for sure. I don't know if the second best part is Brian Tyree Henry. I would say,
who's the second best part?
The woman on the phone. Who is...
Who in the anyway? Spoiler.
Sandra Bullock.
Are you real? Do you really mean that?
Yeah.
You thought she was great?
Yes.
In what way?
I don't believe what I'm saying here, but I was gonna cut this, but I left it in for the great joke that I make later on. Stick with it.
Like, in what way wasn't she? What was your problem with it? Hello, Kitty.
Yes, Hello Kitty is from Japan, I believe.
Okay, go on. I guess I'm just stupid. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember...
Thomas, did you love the woman on the phone, Sandra Bullock?
He's got to do a schnapps.
He's farting. I think he's got his finger up saying, like, hang on a second.
My sister was running through. Sandra Bullock, the second best thing about the show?
The movie.
I mean, I think their conversations on the phone, I think they're great. Right? Like the dialogue in between Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock, amazing.
The banter, but, kind of.
Yeah, but I'm not sure there's enough of that to say that that's the second best part of the show. Anyway, so Brad Pitt is supposed to retrieve this briefcase. He gets on the bullet train. And when he's on the bullet train, we slowly learn that he's not the only assassin.
I'm on the Bullock train.
No laughs. I should be adding a laugh track in here just to accurately portray the audience reaction to that joke. The Thomas and Chris give me nothing.
There's a ton of them. How many of the assassinators? How many of the assassins' names do you guys remember?
None of them.
I remember the actors. There's Austin,
Pitt, who's Ladybug.
Taylor Johnson.
So he's Ladybug. There's Lime and Tangerine, or Lemon.
Lemon and Tangerine. Those are the English.
Austin. Aaron Taylor Johnson is Tangerine. And Lemon was Paperboy.
Zazie Beetz was underutilized. She was the Hornet.
Yeah.
I'm looking now. I didn't remember this.
Oh,
I
forgot she was okay. In this. Yeah, no.
You forgot she was in this because she's really only in it. Like, she shows her face for probably 60 seconds.
She hid in some sort of
anytime you have
costume.
A chance to use her, it's stupid not to use her as much as you can.
We have the Wolf, who is the Mexican assassin.
Right, mm-hmm. I don't know who that was. Didn't recognize him.
I recognize the who is the elder Hiroki Sanada. I've seen him in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Oh, the father of the guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get on the train and then. We think in the beginning that it's a simple story about Brad Pitt trying to retrieve this briefcase. And then it turns out that the Englishmen are trying to escort the son of the White Death and the briefcase that Brad Pitt is trying to steal to the White Death. And then at the same time, there's this female character with code name The Prince.
The Prince, yep. Joey King.
Who is trying to assassinate the White Death using some intricate plan where the father is supposed to try to assassinate him, but then the White Death is going to take the father's weapon and blow his own face off.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like this ensemble.
There, but I don't. Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yes. Yeah. In the end, the her plan was a little overly complicated. Just a.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the end, she ended up pointing. No, she ended up standing in front of the White Death. Him pointing the gun at her and her yelling at him, "Shoot me and kill me," and it didn't work. So. Yeah. Who's the idiot now?
Although she generally does get her way, like she kind of plays this yeah. particular character. The whole thing is based on like kind of this chaotic ensemble that gradually becomes more aware, just as we are, the viewer, of kind of what's happening and how they're all connected. And in fact, there's a purpose to them all being there that they don't even realize.
Right.
It's based on a book. It's actually based on book two. So there's a Japanese film that was based on the first book. So maybe we'd find out what happened in Bolivia and in South Africa. Yeah.
Well, and Chris, what is the purpose of them all being on the train?
The purpose is so that they would all they've all wronged the White Death, and he wants to kill them all. But it turns out Brad Pitt isn't even the right one. Stupid Carver.
Carver had a tummy ache.
Couldn't
make his mission. All right.
Do you know who the third best? So I agree with you, Thomas. The best part about the movie was Brad Pitt. Second best part was Cockney Paperboy. The third
Cockney
best part,
Paperboy.
And this is nobody denies this. The third best part was Channing Tatum.
Who's he?
Wait, Channing Tatum's in this?
He plays a very small role, but like Brad Pitt's like, "Hey, do you want to make an easy $200?" And Channing Tatum like puts the book down. And he looks at him. He's like, "Is this a sex thing?"
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Brad Pitt's kind of like, "No." He's like, "Oh, I was just kidding anyway."
I think I agree. I saw a few. I did a Twitter search last night after I finished watching the movie, and I saw a few sunny tweets about this. And then Matt replied to my tweet as well, where I think the first, say, 2/3, or maybe even the first 75% of the movie, it's amazing. I think it's a lot of fun. It's like you don't really need to care about the MacGuffin or whatever is at the end. You just follow Brad Pitt on the train. You follow the Englishman. Crazy shit happens. It's a lot of fun. People die in the toilet. It's whatever.
There's some great toilet stuff.
Oh, yeah. We should cover the toilet. But it's just a lot of fun. And it's a lot of laughs. And then in the last third or whatever it is, they try to get a little bit too clever. Like the idea that there's a reason why all of them are on the train and it is convoluted plot by the White Death. Then they sort of save that by the fact that not everyone was there because someone had a tummy ache, which is also sort of funny. But it's a hilarious movie. I think the first 3/4 of the movie are just laugh out loud funny. I don't remember when I laughed this much at the movie.
Yeah, it was funny. It was.
It's a ringing endorsement from Ryan.
Brad Pitt is sitting on the floor on the toilet hiding, and he gets a shower in his face when he's trying to figure out how all the buttons work. It's a smart toilet. It's amazing. It's great.
the more you guys are like talking about it, I'm reminding like, oh, this was, I think I liked it more. I didn't like the end. I think like I'm remembering that I thought like the ending was dumb, I guess. Or the plane was stupid, but I remember like along the way, it's the journey, not the destination, because along the way, it was really funny.
And then there's the in the toilet, Brad Pitt, eventually he ends up getting bitten by a snake that he shoves down the smart toilet and he writes on top of it, "Snake, do not open."
I feel Michael Bluth should open it up and been like, well, I don't know what I thought that would have been.
I didn't know what I thought this was going to be.
A dead dove. Don't eat. Thomas was yesterday was like, hey, let's watch this. This would be a good movie to watch for the show. And I assumed it was like Immortal Engines type, like stupid movie that it would be like something that we would like make fun of. And I watched it yesterday and I loved it. I'm like, why did I think this movie was terrible? Was it the boys on the Sub Beacon?
Maybe I think the Sub Beacon, they didn't like it as much. Maybe I said something because I saw it when it first came out, which was, I guess, was it last summer? Was it that long ago? I didn't remember it being that long ago.
Sometime last year.
Because as soon as it was released on streaming, I do remember we rented it and saw it. So that was a while ago, I guess. And maybe I said some, just like, oh, it's, maybe I said some things about it being, but like, I don't, like, it, I feel like I really wanted to like it. Cause I thought, oh, I'm going to like, this is going to be amazing. Like Brad Pitt, you know, all these actors like, and playing these like funny characters. It's going to be great. I'm going to love this. And so maybe I had way too high expectations going into it, but
and maybe I loved it because I had way too low of expectations. And I'm like, actually, this is really good.
I guess so. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, and so one of the things. So Chris, I believe, mentioned earlier, like the one of the guys. What's his name? Brian Tyree Henry. He's obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engine, and they have this discussion fairly early in the movie where he's convinced that because of this show, because I watched Thomas the Tank Engine, I know how to read people. I know what kind people are, and he goes through and he.
You're Gordon, like, yeah.
You're Gordon, and the worst thing you can be is like a diesel. A diesel is like some sort of evil.
Devious diesels. He doesn't say devious diesels, but that's something they say on the show.
Yeah, and then there are like from that scene throughout the rest of the movie, there are at least like two running jokes that they can make. One is people keep saying Thomas and the train friends or something like they get the name wrong. That's funny.
Thomas the train engine. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second one is like calling people like, oh, you're a diesel or you're a something, yeah, whatever, which is also funny. Like it's really like they set that joke up in the beginning and they run it throughout the entire movie. And it's great. And I love it.
It worked. I thought it was really good. And I have a particular soft spot for Thomas myself because my daughter was into it. Like it was the first thing she ever loved and she loved it for like 3 years. Mm. So like, I'm sure some people watching were like, this doesn't work, but I thought it was great. I loved it.
No. Yeah. That definitely worked. Yeah. None of my kids were into it as Jonah was, but just like for a while, and none of the other ones, weren't into it as much.
I made this claim on Twitter that it's the most fun I've had watching a movie since The Nice Guys. And I looked at when The Nice Guys came out, which was 2016.
Yeah.
I probably didn't. Let's say that we watched The Nice Guys in, I don't know, 18. So it's the most fun I've had watching a movie in 5 years. I found it hilarious. I loved it. And then, of course, I had to go and look up, well, who directed it? Do you guys know who directed the movie?
I don't know the name, but he's a guy who comes out of like the John Wick tree. Like, so he's good at like action set pieces. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also directed some bad stuff like Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. But
is that bad, though? Like, okay.
Only thing I remember about it was that Jason Statham and The Rock both had in their contract that they weren't allowed to lose a fight.
Yeah. And a big part of the movie was them fighting.
Wasn't like a big part of the movie also like, we're going to go to The Rock's island where there are no guns, and then we're going to fight with like non-guns. And it's like an honor system with the other, other guy. Right. Yes. We're not using guns, so you can't either or something. But he did Deadpool 2. And then Thomas, your movie, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, no. And so here's the, his name is David Leitch. How would you say that? And I need to find a podcast about this guy. So he started out doing stunt work, and he's, if you look, look him up on Wikipedia or wherever, like, his like list of stunt work is as long as the Torah or something like that. Like, there's a lot of shit. He was, among other things, a Brad Pitt stuntman in a few movies. So as a director...
Wait, hang on. Whoa. You just blew my mind. Do you think Brad Pitt had a stuntman for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? When he played, it's like stuntman all the stuntman. Way down. It's like he played Leonardo DiCaprio's stuntman, but then this guy might have played...
Was doing the stunts for both of them.
Or both? You think both?
The stuntman of the stuntman.
You don't think Brad Pitt did the stunts actually for Leonardo DiCaprio, for Rick Dalton?
Rick Dalton. That was
like... Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe they had him just come in there, dress as Leonardo DiCaprio and do his stunts.
All right. And so I want to say, so he has very few, I think it's 5 movies under his belt as a director. So he co-directed, but he's uncredited on the first John Wick movie. So it was with Shad Stahelski. So he co-directed the first John Wick movie. Then he's done, as Chris said, Atomic Blonde, which is a great movie. It's actually good. It's entertaining. It has some weaknesses. And then he's done Bullet Train, which is a great movie. And then he's done Hobbs and Shaw and Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2 is great. Also,
these are all. So I'm not a fan of the Fast and Furious universe or whatever, but right. I don't think people hated Hobbs and Shaw. And I've never seen Deadpool 2. I don't think people hated that either, as Ryan says. So he called
people. I think if you're a fan of the first Deadpool, Deadpool 2 was even better.
Yeah. And so he, like, when it comes to like action movies, he has an impeccable track record. Like, he's really good. He's like, JBL has this thing about like actors and polar bears and whatever. This guy actually knows what he's doing. Like, this movie, when you watch Bullet Train, I think that it is beautifully shot. There's slow motion scenes, the fast cuts in places, all of it. Like, part of it reminds me of Guy Ritchie. Part of it reminds me of the John Wick movies, where he probably learned from like Shad Stahelski. I think it's great. I love it. I have a new favorite director, and I'm really happy.
So you'll be looking forward to next year's The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Which is a movie about the stuntman.
Oh, nice.
So hey, I'm
with you 100%. Like, I felt like the choreography of the fights was really clever. Kind of like, especially how Brad Pitt kind of used the briefcase defensively, because he's like this enlightened assassin. Like, he doesn't actually want to hurt anybody, so he kind of uses it. Anyone who attacks him, he'll use the briefcase defensively, and I thought that was choreographed well. And like, I also thought, you know, at its best, it's like a mashup of Guy Ritchie with a John Wick style, like, choreography of action, where the quick cuts and just the assembly of characters of kind of odd characters in kind of the underworld and whatever, in Assassin Land, like that reminded me of Guy Ritchie, and I thought it was really, really good, really good. And it's just funny that, like, I don't know anybody who likes this movie. So maybe it's just the people that we talk to, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna
pull it up on Rotten Tomatoes here. Let's just see what the people think. So critics hated it 54% fresh. Audiences generally liked it 76%. And Deadpool 2, while I'm pulling these things up, critics 84%, audience 85%. So both critics and audience liked it. Hobbs and Shaw, audience loved it, 88% fresh. Critics, actually 68%. So that's fresh.
Yeah, no, I think this David guy, I think he knows what he's doing. I think it's enjoyable. And so, Chris, what rating would you give it?
Ooh, boy. Like I said, I really, really like this. So I would say I would give it maybe 2.5 bullets.
Ryan, Rating?
I'd run a train on it.
I give it 8 smart toilets.
And also,
same mouth you kiss your wife with, Ryan.
So, my phone is so hot, it just like restarted.
All right, are we calling this a show?
It's actually, it's never done this before. Like,
is my internet suffering right now?
Am I going to fuck up my phone for like right, phones shouldn't be this hot, should they? Okay.
Anything else to add to today's show?
No.
That sounds like a
splash pad story for the afterglow, but I don't think I'm going to. I don't think my phone's going
to. Well, yeah.
I've got something for afterglow. But are we calling this show? Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, light a candle.
Keep it burning.
Run a train.
Light 5 more.
You could probably light a candle with my phone right now.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Tune in next week.